sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobia, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends, though the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, hey, hey. 2021.
Hey, shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
Shut up!
Shut up!
Episode 110. You can't trust the white man. Take one. Welcome and bienvenue à un autre épisode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, aka B Blizzak, aka B Dot Black, aka Mr. Shut Up Podcast.com, and aka Le Grand Papa B. Ding, 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 ding. Before I start the show, I want to inform you, first I want to say welcome to all you new listeners, but I also want to let you know that this podcast is protected by the red, the black, and the green, and waves a red, black, and a red, blue flag. That means rouge et bleu is up in this bitch. Headphones are feeling weird. I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up in the 80s watching TV Ontario, Télé-Québec, and Soul in the City on Much Music. This episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on September 17, 2023, day of the Sabbath, 7 p.m. God damn, it's late. Yeah, 7 p.m. And a little warm in here. I don't know. Winter is winter's nearby, but summer is still holding on. This episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record labeled as a motherfucking crew, and if you want to be that with Whitey, then fuck you too. Right. Before I start, I want to send a shout out to someone I follow on Twitter. Twitter account is, hold on, I'm trying to remember the name. The Twitter account is Joel Oil Sheen. He's probably got to be my favorite pastor. And, just something he tweeted, you know what? I'm going to put it in the show notes, but it's something he tweeted. I'm laughing, but it'll make more sense if you follow the kind of tweet that he posts. Like, he really encourages my church ratchetness thinking. But at the same time, he introduced me to a song titled something. Hold on. Something Good Is About to Happen by, is it William Murphy? Is that the name? Hold on, let me look it up on my phone. I just looked it up. It was by Something Good Is About to Happen. And I feel like it's, Lift the Spirit Up. Hey, I got it. William Murphy. Right. I like discovering new gospel songs. But that's not the point. That's not the point. I'm just saying, shout out. If I'm sounding in a, okay, I guess you can't tell. I was about to say, if I sound in a better mood, but you have no means of comparing how the mood I was before I hit the record button. But anyway, long story short, he posted something, made me laugh, and at the same time, I discovered a new track by William Murphy that it's going to be on my playlist for a while. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yes, I'm an ex-Christian who still listens to gospel music. That's correct. You are correct. All right. Hey, you welcome new listeners. So this is how we go down. This is how shit goes down on this podcast. So I break down, my episodes are broken down into three parts, column acts, if you will. The first one is the introduction, which is what I'm doing right now, and includes everything that I've done up to since you heard the theme music.
Second portion is called the News and Random Thoughts, and last is Final Thoughts. And for Final Thoughts, all I think I'm going to do is, aside from explaining the title of today's episode, is tell you about my time in Charlotte, North Carolina. All right? Yeah, just my vacation. On the last episode, I talked about my time in my short, brief period in New Jersey, so to speak. And now, the second part of my time off. So before I do that, I just want to acknowledge a few dates that happened this week. A lot for hip-hop, man. First one is on time in history here is, I don't know why I clicked on it, but today we acknowledge the September 11th, 2001, Jay-Z released the Blueprint album. Now, it's not the fact that he released the Blueprint album, but it's more the fact that on September 11th, while all the Bin Laden was making a name for himself in Manhattan and took down those towers, this asshole managed to still, have a good sales release on the day of 9/11, which is kind of interesting. And he, and of course, being in true Jay-Z fashion, he brags about that shit. I don't know if he went platinum on the day of, reception impact. The Blueprint received rave reviews from, that's not what I'm looking for. But the point is, in spite of its release coinciding on the 9/11 attacks, the Blueprint sold over 427,000 copies on its opening week. I don't mean to laugh, but I'm just saying, wow, man, you're watching the towers go down. I guess, well, it was in the morning, right? But a few of you still went to the music store to pick up your copy of you fans still were committed enough to go buy the Blueprint album. Not the time, wasn't it? I don't need to go into details, but Blueprint album. What else this week? Dates we acknowledge is like I mentioned on the past episode, September 13, 1996. The date we lost, the tragic death of Tupac Shakur. 93, I was 18. So 21 on 96. Wow. Anyway, whatever. I only bring this up because I was reflecting on what the fuck was I doing when I was 18. But that's another story. That's another podcast episode. Something else that we acknowledged this week is Notorious B.I.G. released his Ready to Die album on September 13, 1994. And last but not least, on September 14, 1971, I believe. 73, sorry. Yeah, Nas was born. So yeah, this week was Nas's birthday. And he released a new album. He released an album called Magic 3. It was good. It was fun to listen to, but I don't know if it's my age thing, but it's hard to... Nas has done a lot of releases, album release, but none of the albums hit me. It's like there's not a song that I'm like, I hear the album once and that's it. Like I went through the album like it was an audiobook. It was like, okay, some insightful thought, but there's not a track that I'm putting on repeat. Look at me starting to criticize Nas after his birthday. That's not the point. The point is he released an album on Magic 3. I was going to go into some long back in my days when a rapper released an album, but that's not the point. The point is I'm trying to stick to the fact that Nas turned 50 on September 14th. What day? Yeah, September 17th. Yeah, so 3 days ago. I'm impressed with myself doing the math in my head. And one last thing I like to do during the intro is share a quote with y'all. And this one hit hard. Well, hit hard, but hit me in the feels, and it goes, I really pray everyone finds the right circle of friends and the right partner. Life is already hard. Relationships shouldn't be the least of our worries. This one had me thinking about, you know what? Okay. Yeah, I remember 8 minutes into the introduction. Introduction is supposed to be short. So let's just jump to news and random thoughts, and I'll continue what I was trying to say about this quote. So let's do this, all right? Let's go. Yeah. Mm. Did I mention it's fucking warm in here? Summer is weird. I don't like opening my windows because I don't want my... It's weird. Not that I expect my neighbors... You know, it doesn't matter. I don't like opening my windows. All right, what was I saying? Here's to you finding your tribe, and here's to you finding your tribe. And look, I think growing up as a teen, I used to watch a lot of rom-coms. I was into that shit, right? But it's not the fact that I was into it, but it was more how I believed that's how life worked. That was the point of life. It's like you find your one and only, and the way you find your one and only is you cross, you know, you walk the street. Excuse me. You bump into each other. She drops her, I mean, probably in school. She drops her books, and you're like, "I'm sorry," and then you help her grab, pick up her book, and then you make eye contact and love ever after. And then I spend my time pursuing this chick, figuring out her hobbies, and you know, pursuing her, and then you know, then we at some point we get happily ever after, we get married. Turns out life doesn't work that way. But I guess what I'm saying is I was caught up on the idea of growing up of finding that one and only. But as I did that, you know what I didn't do well? What's the word I'm looking for? I didn't hone that relationship skills. I had skills to get a job, but being in sustaining a relationship, that's what I'm trying to say. I don't mean just romantic relationship. Relationships, period. Don't get me wrong. I could probably strike up a conversation with a stranger. That I can do and leave them with the impression that, oh, he's a nice person. But in terms of next level of creating relationships that last for a while, that's not my strong point. Okay, hold on. Let me back up. I'm not just trying to blame myself into this. But I'm saying, what I'm trying to say is, I kind of wish, okay, hindsight is 2020. It's too late for regrets. I guess what I'm saying is, I wish the idea of creating relationships was promoted to me as much as romantic relationship. Romantic, heterosexual relationship. Like, I thought that was, like, the point of life. Finding your one and only and dying together. Well, okay, actually, one of them dies. But I'm realizing now I'm an adult and who enjoys his solitude, but at the same time, wish he had friends he could kick it with. Don't get me wrong. No, I do have friends that I could call, but it's not really, it's relationship out of convenience. It's not really strong. Look, what I'm trying to say is, God bless you if you're one of the lucky people if you managed to find your tribe, right? You're even lucky if you found your tribe and found a partner that you can share your life with. I say tribe, I could say community and whatnot. Yeah, you know, I'm just, anyway, I'm not there yet. But what I do know, I'm not there yet, but I do know is, even though I enjoy my solitude, I struggle with those moments of loneliness. And this is, again, past episode, this is me trying to have a mature conversation about loneliness and not just turn it into a depression shit. But I'm saying, like, I remember if I wanted to socialize with people, I'd go to a club. Now I don't do that anymore. There was club and then there's church. Now I don't do that. I fucking hate church. I hate clubs. Gyms. I'm saying at my age, 48, at this age, how do people socialize? It's Yeah. I think my current journey now is finding my tribe. I'll leave it at that. Finding my tribe. Right. Okay. I had one more thought that I wanted to share. No, not one more thought. A quote that I wanted to share. And it goes, this one. Oh, my God. I forget that I already loaded it, but whatever. Okay. Oh, this is my favorite one. Speaking of, it is interesting. Actually, it kind of links with what I was talking about, but I, my relationship challenge, but this is what I like is you can mute people in real life too. It's called boundaries. This one had me thinking about how, oh, there's other quotes. Okay, yeah, it's called, there's other thoughts, but this one had me thinking about how I grew up in a family where I honestly, to this point, cannot tell you if it was intentional, but the programming or the takeaway for me was love is putting down your boundaries. Is letting people love, showing, expressing love to another human being. You express your love by taking down your boundaries, by having no boundaries, letting them walk in, walk out. You're just there for being their tool of convenience. If they need to talk to you at 3 a.m. and for whatever the fuck reasons, you make yourself available. Basically, it's about people pleasing. And this is what I was trying to get at with relationship is I grew up with the notion on how to be convenient, how to be serving for someone else. But I never figured out or never got to learn how to do that while respecting your boundaries, while being a great friend to your own self. The way I saw it, it's either one or the other. You're either good to another person, bad to yourself, or good to yourself and bad to the other person. I never learned how to be good to yourself while being good to another person. That to me, that's my relationship handicap at the moment that I'm working on. And I say this because I know that I'm not the only one. I am not sharing, what I'm sharing right now, it's not for the people who are like, oh, I got all the answer. I can help you figure that out. No. I'm speaking to people like me who understand what the fuck I'm saying and can relate to it. Look, I'm just talking about the problem now, fuck, not the solution. Because talking about the problem in this society is kind of forbidden. It's hard to not bring this up in a way where it's not to bring this up, period. I'm just going to leave this in. And then this is, I guess, I'm feeling like I'm being gutsy on this podcast. But I'm saying if you got those problems, I got those problems too. At some point, I'll be able to talk to you about solutions. But right now, just being able to acknowledge this problem, the how to be good to someone else while being good to your own self. That's the challenge. All right, there are other quotes here, but everyone is going through something you don't see. Oh, okay. Vent about your joy, not just your problems. I didn't notice there was, this is an Instagram post, and there's more posts in here. You have to meet people where they are. I get that. And sometimes you have to leave them there. Exactly. You are bigger than what is making you anxious. Pay attention to who you're with when you feel your best. Worry less about whether they like you and more about if you even like them. Oh, that's powerful. Repeat after me. I only want what wants me. Stop breaking your own heart pretending people are something they are not. Oh my God, this is some relationship. You're my favorite notification. Oh, this reminds me of what my homie calls. Powerful. Okay, needless to say, all this is in the show notes. All right, random thought. Today's random thought. A plumber this week gave me a lesson indirectly on self-esteem. Actually, I should. Okay, this is what happened. Right, the shower pressure was weak, and at first I thought it was the shower head that was wrong. I changed it, and the shower was weak. Then I Googled it, and it only to find out that the, what's it called? Faucet spout? Shower spout? Hold on, let me see if I get the name right. Shower spout? Is that what it's called? Yes, yes. Oh, bathtub spout. Is it a bathtub spout or a shower spout? Anyway, right. Okay, I learned a lot about shower spout, right? I even Googled it. I'll put the link to the video, right? I saw the video on... So, long story short, my shower spot or bathtub spout needed to be replaced. I looked it up, and I saw the video, and it fucking looked easy until the part of putting some cock. Grow up, be black. Yeah, the cocking part, right? And because I've never done it, so my self-esteem was like, okay. This is where I'm going with the story. Because I knew that if I did it myself, I was going to procrastinate, I ended up calling the plumber. Plumber showed up. Man, this 5 minutes. Homie was done in 5 minutes. Okay, I'll give him 10 minutes tops, right? And homie made it look easy. Seriously, man. And he did exactly every single step that was in the YouTube video, right? I guess this is one of those hindsight 2020 moment, right? He did it. He scraped it off. He put some caulking, fixed it, boom. And then he slapped me with the bill. This was the hardest part, is he slapped me with a $236 bill. I swear, man, the look on the homie's face, it's like, you sucker. Okay, he didn't say anything. This is just me inferring all this shit. No, he was a nice guy and everything. But I got a sense of, I'm trying to remember the last time I think I told the coworker I went to. You know what? It doesn't matter who the person is because they were just an asshole. But I remember bringing in my car for something that to them was like, what the fuck? Did you bring your car for a gas to pump in your gas? You know, bring your car to the dealership to pump your gas? Basically, it was a maintenance call, and to them, it's something they can do their own. And for me, it's like, nah, fuck that. I'd rather let a professional do it and pay the high price. But I remember feeling like that after I got the bill of $230. And then, you know, I thanked them and everything like that. But a part of me was like, I was trying to silence the part of me going, you sucker. But it was, okay, I was beating myself up for not having trust in my own self to do it my own way. Because I would have saved $200 is a lot of lap dance money, folks. I'm saying I was disappointed at myself. It was a complicated call. I was disappointed at myself for not doing it myself. But I still remember, but at the same time, I know myself. Either I won't do it, either I'll procrastinate, and if I do it and fuck it up, then I'll beat myself up for fucking up the process. When I paid that plumber to do the job, it was an act of desperation on my part. But you know what? Shout out to the guy because I did. It's my own fault. I did ask him. I did say, hey, do you mind if I look at you while you do it? Fuck, man. he was done by the time I said, yeah, sure. But it was as simple as the fucking YouTube video said it would be. I'm just disappointed that I didn't trust myself enough to do it. And it's just, I feel like I had a valuable lesson in the value of self-worth, of believing in yourself, confidence in yourself. I'm not saying this moment is like, from now on, I'm going to have more confidence in myself. But what this moment did show me is how expensive lack of self-esteem can be. Yeah, this goddamn society, this is the society we live in. It's like, yeah. It profits off people's lack of self-esteem, self-worth, of being able to trust themselves, being able to say, oh, you know what? I'll figure it out. Or my favorite is, whatever happens, I'll handle it. But all right, okay. I'm talking way too much because I really want to talk about my trip to North Carolina. But I just had a moment, man. So shout out to the plumber for fixing my shower spout. I'm also grateful that now the water pressure is like strong. It actually took part of what inspired me to address my shower pressure problem is my trip to North Carolina. And or I mean, my trip to the States, and when I was in a hotel and working shower pressure, I'm like, oh, fuck, this feels good. And yeah, I made two notes after that first shower out of town. It was, one is fix my shower pressure problem, call a plumber. I actually wrote call a plumber. And two, make an appointment with my physician. That's another story. That's another podcast episode. But yeah, here we are. But I, but the good part is I did two. I accomplished two. I'm just bitching about the fact that now that I fix it, I'm bitching about it. What's wrong with me? But no, the takeaway is self-esteem. Teach your kids to have a high self-esteem. And if you're a parent with a low self-esteem, but nah, figure it out. Develop a high self-esteem so you can teach it to them. All right. Okay. Next item I got. This one is called 5 ways that white people unknowingly act out of internalized racial superiority. You know what? I would have called this, you know, you're white when. And no, in case for those wondering, no, this is not why. What I'm playing has nothing to do with, is not why. I was going to say it has no relevance with the title of today's episode. That's not true. It's not this podcast. It's not this clip that inspired today's title. That's what I'm saying. But today's title did make inspire me to play this clip. And here we go. All right, here we go. And it goes, I got it loaded somewhere here. That's not it. And it goes like this. Oh, so content creator's name is Racial Equity Insight. Shout out to Racial Equity Insight for this content. And here we go.
5 ways that white folks unknowingly act out of internalized racial superiority. Internalized racial superiority is a complex, multi-generational socialization process that teaches white people to accept, believe, and/or live superior societal definitions of self. It is often very subtle. Here's some examples. 1, paternalism. I and other white people or organizations know what is best for others.
Again, I would have called this, you know you're white when.
The idea that Black, Indigenous, and other people of color need white people's help. 2, right to comfort. I have a right to be comfortable, and if I'm not, then whoever is making me uncomfortable is the problem. Mm. Politeness is valued over honesty, even when a person is causing harm and needs to hear direct truth.
Again, you know you're white when.
3, entitlement. I have a right, title, or claim to most things. I deserve what I have. I have the right to define things how I see them and demand that others accept my definition even when I lack experience or expertise. Mm. 4, defensiveness. I am good and my intentions were good. And right. So I am unwilling to hear about ways that others have been harmed by my actions or inactions. 5, silence. Being silent when racism shows up is neutral, not causing any harm. I will wait until I know exactly what to say before I speak up. Please hear this information as educational, not intending to judge or to insult. These racist ideas are so subtle and normalized that we often don't even see their existence within our belief systems. But once we know, we can disrupt them and choose better.
You must learn. Okay, what do you say about number 2? Number 2 is my favorite in this one.
Often very subtle. Here's some examples. 1, paternalism. I and other white people best for others. The idea that Black, Indigenous, and other people of color need white people's help. 2, right to comfort.
Right to comfort. Okay. I bring this up because I think this one hit me like a ton of bricks, and it's the reason why I'm going, you know you're white when. First, I want to be clear when I'm going, you know, when I'm saying, you know you're white when, it's, I've reached a point where it's not because you dance offbeat, don't season your meat, put raisin, all the stereotypes, right? Put raisin in your potato salads, that you're white. Nah, I can work with that. I can still, you know, I can still see you as a sibling despite all that. White to me is when you do shit like what he's, those 5 traits that he displayed, that's what I mean by white people. That's what I'm talking about. I'm a human being with white skin and a superiority complex. And this one here, right to comfort. The reason why this one hit home is because I grew up around white people, and then throw in the highly sensitive person, throw in the people pleasing, throw in the Christianity, throw in all these traits combined. And I ended up growing up to be the kind of person who, so white people feel like they have a right to comfort, but growing up, like it's even at a subconscious level, I feel constantly feel responsible for white people's comfort, especially when I'm angry, I'm passionate. So what I'm saying is, if you find myself hitting the brakes or not expressing myself fully, it's because there's a part of me that's like, oh, that grew up with the notion that as a black person, you are responsible for white people's comfort. And it's a habit that, you know, but let's just say, man, I'm in therapy for a reason. But it's interesting hearing how I grew up with that notion, but on the other end, on the receiving end, white people feel entitled to this comfort. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? Like I said, man, the intro of my podcast, the Protected by the Red, Black, and Green, is my way of saying, hey, fuck you and your white fragility. Past this point, like I should actually say, just to be more blunt and start this podcast with something like, this podcast deals with mature themes about races, about race. Viewer discretion is advised. It's my way of saying, don't be a little bitch if your feelings get hurt, if your white fragility gets hurt. Yeah. Where was I? Yeah. Okay. Hit like Rocky. Right. Anyway. Yeah. So, you know, you're white if, you know what? I don't know the kind of white person that listens to this podcast. I'm kind of hoping you're the progressive type, and I'm kind of hoping that you're not the, oh, I'm one of the good ones. Nah, I'm not trying to get you. I don't want you to be a good white person. I want you to be a good human being. And by being part of the human family, I want you, sir. That's the, yeah, I mean, like, I want the same that you would want for me. And it's to be a better human being. Better human being than you were yesterday. And as a white person, being a better human being has its own intricacies, complexities. Why the fuck am I explaining that to you? You figure it out, man. Figure it the fuck out. Yeah. You know what it is? If I talk a lot about, oh my God. You know what? My time in Charlotte, okay, I'll get to that, man. But my time in Charlotte had me thinking how much white people are on my mind. But again, I'll leave that for final thoughts. Okay, last but not least in news and random thoughts is I don't hate men. And this content creator just said, you know, I'll let her speak and then I'll let her speak. Content creator's name is Gray Brennan. That's her name? Is that really her name? Gray Brennan? Or is that the person who's sharing this content? Making sure. Yeah, it is Gray Brennan. Gray Brennan. Okay. Actor, writer, seamstress. GrayAxe@gmail.com. Okay. All right. So, again, links in the show notes. And here we go. Oh, here we go.
I don't hate men. I hate men who reinforce patriarchy.
Speak.
But that's most men. Mm. So now where does that leave us? Because I think the mistake a lot of women be making is like feeling like they have to like constantly disclaim that they don't hate men.
Yep.
I think it's very okay for oppressed people to have resentment towards their oppressor. Let me just make that one clear. Any group of people who are oppressed by another group of people, within that group of oppressed people, there will be some who may have sympathy towards their oppressors.
Right.
There will be some in that oppressed group mm-hmm. who will have resentment towards their oppressors.
Yep.
And there will be some in that group who have more of a neutral stance towards their oppressors. Everybody in that group who all feel differently, you guys are allowed to have your feelings. Okay? I'm not here to radicalize anybody because most people don't have the range and they will never be able to do it how I do it anyway. But we need to hold space for the women who hate men because it's okay to hate people that kill you. I think that sounds fair in my opinion.
Agreed. I think when I finally reached the point where everything my feminist friends have been saying started to make sense, where I could recite it myself. Like I'm not talking about bell hooks. I'm talking about where all of a sudden all the arguments, all the points that my friends, men and women, who believe strong feminists try to convey, finally made sense. Excuse me. I was like, holy shit, if I was a woman, I'd be angrier. Like, I got it now. I got the there's a clip of this woman who she's just being rude to men around, you know, call them a fuck face and whatever. Anyways, they use her as the image of the angry feminist. And I remember thinking of that woman and being like, no, I get it. I fucking get it. I'd probably be worse. Like, I'd be like, fuck the cameras. Here's my rage. And I think about that because I think about her point and how it links to how I spent a lot of time growing up. I spent a lot of time. I'm thinking about how, as a black person, I've been spending a lot of time providing comfort to white people and working around their white fragility. And white people need to learn how to make space for the angry black guy. not the irrationally angry. I'm not talking about that. But I mean, space for, you know what? Fuck. Let me put it this way. The white people who get it. The white people who get it don't need to have explained, not all white people. The white people who get it know the harm, don't need further explanation. That intro that I put at the beginning of this podcast, the white people who get it, they get it. I put on this barrier. You know what? It's more of a switch for myself. It's after this, on this podcast, Be Black. Speak to the world like you want to speak. And stop worrying about hurting some white person's feelings. Because the white people who get it, I was going to say their feelings don't get hurt, understand what's coming out of my mind. I don't need to like provide footnotes, context, and say shit like, not all white people, not all men. Look, man, when you finally understand what they say, what they're saying, the people on the other side, people who are, you're not used to listening to, the people who you've entitled yourself to looking down on, once you finally start to understand what they're saying, you're like, oh, you know what, let them speak. Fuck my feelings, it ain't about me, it's about them. Let them speak their mind. Anyway, yo, shout out to Gray Brandon. I'm gonna leave it at that. All right, okay. I purposely am keeping using random thoughts shorter than usual. Even though that part about the plumber had me talking a lot. But I kept it shorter than usual because I want to talk about my trip to North Carolina. And I want to be able to let it breathe. So let's jump to random thoughts and let you get the fuck out of here, all right? Okay, let's go. Word up.
You cannot talk.
I think I'm going to make that clip I'm going to use that clip somehow. All right, don't start. All right, before I start news, final thoughts is I have an other link sections to the website. It's a bunch of links that I could have spoken about during using random thoughts, but instead I'm just going to leave it as a link for your own pleasure. But one of my favorite one is Laura Sigmund. Now, I don't know who she is. I mean, I know she's a tennis player. She's a white woman using white women tears. And someone on TikTok just dropped some science about those tears that I... Sorry, I live in the... Yeah, sorry. There's a car alarm going off and I keep thinking it's my car. Right. Anyway, yes. Dropped some science about those tears. Basically, a white woman doing white woman things. That reminds me. I was in the middle of watching Michelle Wolf comedy special on Netflix and fucking things hilarious. So once I'm done, I'm gonna make some chicken noodle soup and then sit down on my couch and finish watching that special. Oh, I only bring up Michelle Wolf because she talks a lot about white women. She makes fun of white women. Yeah, my kind of humor. Right. All right. Okay. So before I explain what's up with today's title, shout out to those of you who were expecting an angry black guy episode. but before I explain what's up with today's title and why I didn't have a rap verse to, like I usually do, for returning listeners will notice, hey, how come you didn't drop some poetry at the beginning of the episode? It all ties in. I'll explain that. But for those of you who didn't know, on Friday, I flew out of YOW to EWR to Newark, New Jersey. I was supposed to go to a poetry show, missed the poetry show. I'm pissed, but, you know, found out it's going to be in Atlanta. Anyway, I talk about my disappointment in the last episode, right? Anyway, yeah, flew to New Jersey. My flight got delayed, showed up 4 hours late, missed the show. But I still kept a positive attitude. I still kept the mindset of you can plan a pretty picnic, but you can't predict the weather. So I got prepared for and started hoping that I got prepared for the next day, which meant I was going to be in North Carolina, Charlotte, North Carolina, to attend the Black Guy Who Tips show, live recording, right? And, you know, I'm going to go with the pictures that I took for narration, I'm going to share these pictures on my Instagram, but, excuse me. Yeah, I'm scrolling through the pictures to use that as my story time. So, first thing I did was the picture of these chicken wings. So 23, I remember waking up. I went to bed with some chicken wings in my stomach, but I went to bed knowing that I had to be at the airport by 10 o'clock so I could be in Charlotte's by 12. What time did my flight leave? I forget, but whatever, right? But I remember looking up the weather. It's 23 degrees in Charlotte. Oh, I still wore my jeans, yeah. It was going to be 28 degrees Celsius. It's going to be fucking hot, that's the point. So why? That was signed for, just wear a t-shirt and some jeans, B. Right, so I made sure to. Here's the thing. I knew that I was going to show up at 12. I was going to call the hotel and beg for early check-in, shower, and then head towards the show, which starts at 3 o'clock. So here's the math, right? 12, leave Newark at 10, hope that the flight is on time, and then land at Charlotte for Atlanta at 12 o'clock. But okay, that's a lot more details. So basically, I got prepared for the possibility that if I don't get early check-in, I was going to head to the show directly and smelling like a guy who's been on United Airway Airline. All right? Okay. So this is interesting. Okay, so my first picture is... All right, okay. I didn't have a lot of time to take a lot of pictures because I was focused on, like I said, 12 o'clock, getting to the hotel. Okay, first, let me explain my flight from Newark. And Newark, New Jersey, EWR, that's a big-ass hotel, big-ass airport, man. There were a lot of motherfuckers in there. Now, if you're from a big city, you're going to be like, whatever, right? You probably take for granted. But I'm from a city from Ottawa, and it's not a big city compared to Montreal and Toronto. It's considered like a smaller city. We're bigger than Cornwall, right? We're not a fucking village, but we're like, I am not used on seeing a lot of people. The only time I've seen a lot of people was Canada Day, and I go outside, there's a lot of motherfuckers out there. For you people in the big city, you probably take it for granted. That's probably rush hour for you. But for me, I am not. I knew I wasn't from a big city because I have this habit of every time I see a person, I see their face and my brain goes into, I wonder what their story is. I wonder if they're married. I wonder if they have kids. I wonder if they're here by themselves. I wonder, like, it's like there's a TV show for every face that I see. And in a big city, I'm realizing that, fuck, that's a lot of brain energy. I had to cut that shit. I had to turn that off. I have a thing of looking at everyone's face. I like people watching. And so as I'm rushing through the airport, There's a lot of people in there. By the way, the airport is called EWR's Newark Liberty International Airport. How big is this freaking airport? Well, the point is, there was a lot of motherfuckers in there. Like, enough for me to be like, damn. It was a reminder. I needed this trip to remind me how big planet Earth is. Because when you stay stuck in Ottawa, I forget that there's more to planet Earth than what goes on in my city and television and the internet. So it was a good shock reminder. I should back up to it. Right. I forgot that. I forgot one of the pictures that I took. Hey, how are these pictures out of order? Doesn't matter. All right. I took a picture of my hotel, which was disappointing. And I'm looking at double case. Sorry. Yeah. I had a moment when I was flying to Newark between being shuttled to the airport, this thought that ruled my mind. And it's like, how there's a programming in my head. Again, this is one of those, if you can relate, you'll understand what I'm talking about. But I seem to have this programming engraved in my mind that goes, the greatest contribution that I can make to humanity, to planet Earth, is being invisible and being silent. Which is probably where I'm going with this, why I call this Shut Up Podcast. Get the fuck out of people's way. Don't take space. Just shrink. Just. In other words, it's, if I act shy, it's because that programming is kicking in. The best thing in my mind, there's a voice that's telling me the best thing you can offer to this earth is your silence and invisibility. Get the fuck out of people's way. So I got into the, yeah, man. And God forbid that, you know, if you happen to be an attractive woman, it's like that notion, or if you happen to be an attractive woman or an intimidating human being, like maybe a celebrity or whatever, like that voice gets louder. It's like, yo, get the fuck out their way. Important people are coming through. I just noticed like that program. It's that lingering thought. Like I've been aware of it, but it was more evident on this trip. So I found myself being shy. I remember getting in the shuttle, sitting in the back, which was a bad fucking idea because I was the first one to get out, and it was very difficult to get out of the shuttle. I was purposely putting myself in a situation where I wouldn't start conversation with people. I did everything in my mind to not stand out. And it's funny how one second I do that and another, whatever, right? But I wrote this down, like my thought, like, who are you? What is that voice? Anyways, yeah. So those of you who know what I'm talking about, you can relate, right? Anyway, so on this shuttle, I was just out of my mind. Just so happened there was a woman who was in the shuttle. She was sitting in front, and she was getting out at the same place as I am. And we had a lot in common. That was my point. Had I known that, had it not been for that voice that was like getting out of this person, I would have probably sparked a conversation with this person who's from Virginia. Yeah, poor lady. She was actually, yeah, the flights to Newark were all delayed because of the storm. And she was stuck in Newark, and she had to be at work in Virginia. And her flight, because of flight delay. So it kind of sucks. It kind of sucks that she was going to get off a plane and head to work. I couldn't do that, man. But whatever. That's not the point. But I remember how I missed an opportunity to connect with another human being because, in my mind, the best thing you can offer on planet Earth is getting to stay in the fuck out of people's way and being invisible. Damn, I'm going to start coughing again. All right, okay. So fast forward, get through the airport. I get on my flight, and I land in Newark. And then the moment that I was big worried about is I call the hotel, find out if I could get early check-in. Bing! Hooked me up. Oh, man, God bless them. But the only thing is they don't have shuttle service, which is not the end of the world, so I ended up taking an Uber to my hotel. My Uber ride, the dude on the Uber ride, he was a friendly guy, man. It was a good journey. It's funny how I get into Uber and I tell myself, shut the fuck up. Like, I tell myself, I don't want to talk to anyone. I don't know what it is about me. Can't stop talking. I'm talking to the dude. He didn't seem like he minded. Like we had a great conversation, but it's funny how I go into an Uber telling myself, this motherfucker better be quiet. I don't want to talk to anyone. And next thing you know, we're sparking conversation. We're having a big conversation on the way there. Anyway, friendly guy. He pointed me to some Mexican restaurant that that I could check out. Yeah, by the way, Charlotte's a beautiful city, man. And long story short, Uber gets me to my hotel. I thank him. It was such a great ride that I gave him 5 stars and a tip. Getting to my room. Finally, I'm getting through inside. Nice hotel. What was it called? Doubletree something hotel. Let me put it this way. My moment, the experience in Charlotte was 100 times better than my time in New Jersey. You know, in New Jersey, you know, my trip to New Jersey made me realize how much I don't like New York, man. I don't like New York as a state. I don't like New York, man. I used to love New York, but now, yeah, man. For my personality, New York, New Jersey ain't my thing, man. It's like a concrete jungle, but that's another story. It's one of those only the strong survive mindset. I feel like it's that kind of place, man. Charlotte felt peaceful. Not like Bay Area peaceful. I can't explain, but there's a different kind of peace from Charlotte once I landed. It's beautiful. They take care of the city like Ottawa takes care of the city. Like, I just wasn't used to that shit. It's like, hey, where's the garbage? Anyways, get into my hotel, sit in there. I'm hungry. Now, I can't remember what time I got to my hotel. It might have likely been, all I know it was like, I had probably like less than an hour and a half to, show starts at 3 p.m. I likely got to my hotel by like 1 o'clock or 1:30. Yeah. Cause I remember there was like, I was trying to do the math to not show up on time, to not show up late. And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to fuck this up. I'm not going to be there on time. Cause I needed to eat. I wanted to shower and, change. And you know, because I don't plan too well, I ended up calling my Uber, figuring out how to get to the location, which was, wow, didn't realize this, but my hotel was very, man, lesson learned. Next time I book, yeah, anyway, I did well. Who picked my hotel? Did I pick my hotel? I must have picked my own hotel. Yeah, I did pick my own hotel, but I picked a hotel that wasn't too far from the venue, which was a great idea. Because I don't usually praise myself for doing something right. So here we go. This is for me for picking a hotel that was not too far from the venue. I didn't realize, like, I couldn't. I remember asking the hotel people at the front desk, hey, you think I should take I should call a taxi to get to this place? Well, actually, I had already called the taxi, but they were like, bro, it's fucking close. And they were right. It was close, but it wasn't close for someone who was running late. Yeah, what time did I get to this event? I must have been 30 minutes late. Hold on, I'm going for my picture. Oh my God, yeah, the muffins at EW. I'm going for my pictures to narrate this story. Yes, Battle of Charlotte, Cornwallis. It's just a picture that I took. September 26, 1788. Just a picture that I took. I love historical shit. All right, okay. So as I'm, oh wow. Okay, it was. So this is what happened. I ended up getting an Uber. Didn't realize there was a taxi that was just waiting outside, but I ended up getting an Uber to the venue, to the venue. And now the venue turns out had several fucking buildings. It's like going to a university, and where the Uber dropped me off is at the other extreme, as the one extreme of where I needed to be. I think I got to the venue by 3:20 because I took this picture of this plaque called Battle of Charlotte, and the timestamp says 3:17 p.m. Yeah, I must have been at the venue at 3. Yeah, must have been. Okay, what time was this picture taken? So this is the picture of me inside the venue. Anyways, all I know is I got there. It must have been 3:30-ish or 3:40. I didn't miss much, but I missed enough. Whatever. I was mad at the I was angry at the Uber driver, even though it was my fault. I'm the one who inputted the address or didn't take the time to look at my ticket that said that the venue was. See, I don't. It's called. So the ticket says Blumenthal Performing Arts, right? But the theater is called Night Theater, 430. 400. Oh, you know what? Let me look at my Uber. You know what? Okay, that's a lot of fucking details. But all you need to know is Uber dropped me off at the wrong fucking place. I had to walk a bit. And what didn't help is how I got out the car and noticed that my ankles were a bit ashy. But I'm giving you a lot of fucking details because I'm going through the moment. Right? But whatever. If you're not into detail person, this story's going to bore you. But I'm pretending to speak to someone who's like me and just likes every single detail and lets a person speak. So thank you for indulging me. All right. Where was I? Right. So Uber drops me off at one location. I'm angry at the Uber driver for not reading my fucking mind and not saying, oh, you're going to the Black Isle Tip Show. Okay, let me drop you off. You're going to the Night Theater. Whatever. So I ended up walking. And it was a great walk, though. It was a great, even though I was power walking, it was a great walk because I noticed a charcuterie joint. I'm like, I am going to check out this place on the way back. So finally, I get to the theater. The person who walked me in was cool. She's my ticket. She walked me to the theater. Like, I was a little timid about saying, yeah, I'm here for the Black Guy Who Tips Show. Oh, what's going to be about race? Nah, okay. No, the lady, white lady, she was really cool. She ushered me in, gave my seat. I walked in. And boom, I was inside the theater. And notice on stage, in the order of sitting, Karen, Rod, and then Justin on stage and the audience out there. And it was great. It was fucking great, man. It was great. So I try to calm down and I'll focus on the fact that I had ashy ankles and I was wearing a Know Thyself t-shirt with an unk on it looking like a now I know where this story is going. Yeah, looking like a Hotep. This is where I'm going. I don't know what it is. Well, okay. Combined with that voice in my head that's saying, hey, you'll make people happy if you shut the fuck up and stay out of their sight. I walk in that theater, even though I'm amongst my community, right? Black Eyed Tips fans, whatever, right? People laughing. A fucking shyness. I was overwhelmed by shyness. That's why I didn't sit in front. I remember it right, but I found my seat. I didn't look around. I just, I sat like I was like a student in class. Like, I'm usually a bigger than life kind of person. I can be that bigger in life, but I guess because I was out of town, but I just felt shy. So I sat in my seat and just laughed at the jokes. And, you know, it wasn't like, I kind of wish it was, it wasn't like, you know, when you show up to church, to a new church, and people look back at you and say, hey, what's up, brother? Whatever. There was none of that. I don't know. I think it wasn't just me, but I felt like the only people, if you came with friends in there, that's one thing. But I feel like if you were like me, you came by yourself, there wasn't that feeling of, hey, hello, whatever. I'm gonna network. I'm gonna branch off. No, I just felt like this was my first day in school, and I'm like, I wonder if the kids are gonna like me. Whatever. Like, I was just overwhelmed with fucking insecurity. Don't get me wrong. I'm enjoying the show, but that voice of shut the fuck up, man. Fuck, man. You're misdressed. Like the insecurity was just kicking in. And all I knew is it's a good thing that I had made a commitment to my therapist. I said, okay, I will take a selfie with Rod and Karen. There's no fucking way I'm leaving that building without a fuck. If I have to fucking lock the building up, I'm taking a selfie with these two. And at the very least saying, hey, what's up? At the very least saying, what's up, whatever. Because if I hadn't went in there with that commitment, I would have saw the show and then ran out. or would have been quiet. I've done that before. I've seen people who I've admired or really wanted to, you know, had a great respect for and didn't bother saying, basically treated them like a hot chick. Got all shy with them and, yeah, I'm from Canada. I love your show. Whatever. But because I had, okay, I think the lesson learned that I got from my trip, when I travel, if I don't write shit down on what I want to do, it's not going to get done. Like, once I'm in there, I'm in lazy mode. I'm in vulnerable mode. I'm in, like, I have to commit. If I go to France, I got to commit myself to saying, okay, on day blah, Eiffel Tower. Or make a list of shit that I want to do and do it one day. But if I don't do that, then I'm just going to veg. And God forbid there's weed, because then I'm going to ain't doing shit after that. But so on my list is, yeah, taking a selfie with Rod and Cameron. So because I knew I was doing that, I was trying to get into the mode. I mean, I was enjoying the show, laughing, and it was like surreal. I'm laughing with the audience. It was great. We talked about Bullet Ball Extreme. It's funny. We there was a segment. Okay, if you listen to episode, if you don't know what show I'm talking, yeah, if you go to the Black Guy Who Tips, download episode, the original Karen Stan. What? Okay, 2767 TWG. Live 2023. The original Karen Stan. I know what that is. Man, I meant to, okay, I'll get to that, right? So 2023, you'll be able to follow along with the show how it went down, right? And hold on. Nope, that's not it. Well, it doesn't matter. Right. Okay. What was that? Right. Okay. Enjoyed the show. I still remember when there was a part where if you're familiar with the show, they have a segment called Guess the Race. And I knew they were going to do that, is that you come to the microphone and you get to say your vote. And never raised my hand, man. I raised it. It's funny how I was in the show and a part of me wanted to turn on the version of B-Black that's on this microphone. The version of B-Black that's willing to do comedy in front of an audience. And I was going to joke about how when we got to Guess the Race and play with the audience and say, yo, make some noise if you think I should pick black. Make some noise if you think I should pick white. Whatever, man. Just do some, whatever. Again, that voice in my head of, shut the fuck up, be black. That voice was still loud. It's like, yo, the best you can offer to this audience is your silence and your, the thing is, yeah, your silence and your invisibility. Whatever, I'm telling you everything that was going on in my mind, but what ended up happening is I enjoyed the show with everyone else. I even though a part of me wanted to raise my hand and say, yeah, you know, jump in on the jokes, whatever, but it, you know, whatever. I guess that would have made me a heckler, but I had a great time. I guess I should just say I had a great time. We laughed with everyone else, and then after the show, it was they said, yo, after the show, if you guys are down, we'll take pictures with you and everything like that. It's like, that's my moment. So I went out, and it's funny how we were all like students at a new school, and I guess there wasn't a lot of, okay, I think that's what I'm thinking about. In a church environment, even though you don't know each other, it's easier to like spark a conversation. I'm not saying people were looking unfriendly. I'm saying it's funny how we were at a community and none of us did that. Or, okay, you know what? I should be careful. I didn't do that. Maybe there was other people who were like probably life of the party and stuff like that, but I didn't. I kept to myself. But I did notice one guy who I did follow. I think it's Leonard Brothers. Is that his name? Whatever, right? I saw him, you know. He looked like he was like a celebrity in that joint. Whatever. Anyway, yeah, I saw him, shook his hand. Said, hey, it's funny. This thing is looking at me like, who the fuck are you? Follow me on Twitter? Word? And he's looking at me like, are you that nigga I got in a fight with? Whatever, right? I nearly brought up how, yeah, you and I had a disagreement over, I forget what the disagreement, but it was rap related. And I likely took it personal. But I didn't bring that up. But I remember saying my name, and it was like, oh, okay. And then, but the other person he was talking to, I recognize that name, whatever. But he was friendly. He was like, he showed the, I guess there was the one moment of warmth between community was, it's fucked up. The one guy who I felt warm around, I can't remember his name. I knew he was a photographer, but it was cool brother. All right. I'm distracted by Oh, right. Okay. By a notification I got on Twitter. Okay. What was I going? Right. So at the show, I'm lining up to take my picture. And I remember that shy feeling came over because I'm like, oh, shout out to that one sister who was like, hey, do you mind if taking a picture of us? Like, I'm grateful she did that. That was a warmth of connection. One sister said, hey, do you mind taking a picture with me? And two people did that with me, right? And I had no problem doing that. And I took several pictures. And I hope they found something that they liked. But anyway, whatever. And I remember being in line. And I'm like, fuck, I need someone to take my picture. There was a sister in front of me. There was one behind me. Again, I had to break out of my shy shell and said, "It's like, hey, do you mind taking a picture? Oh, I think I said something like, hey, you want to trade? I'll take a picture of you. You take a picture of me." And then she was cool about it. I forget if I got her name, but I think this is what I'm trying to get at. This is what I'm trying to say. We were all friendly people, but we needed something to break the ice to enable our friendliness. Because everyone in there gave me friendly vibes. But we didn't act on that friendly vibes. That's what I didn't act on that friendly vibes. Again, shy. I don't know if I sound like I'm being hard on myself, but I'm just saying, and that's not the intention. I'm just trying to paint a picture of how it was. Yes, while being like 2020. I mean, you know, my biggest fear is being all friendly and then being the jerk in the room. I guess that's what my big fear was. So that's why I kept quiet. I'm just like, let's play it safe. I don't know these people. But whatever. Anyway, you know what's funny? It's funny how at the beginning of the episode I'm talking about finding my tribe, how that's my journey. But at the same time, now I'm telling you everything that stops me from finding my tribe. Taking a risk on people. Just being out there. I think that's what the lesson learned is. Anyway, fast forward to finding my time. And fast forward to finding my time to take a picture with Rod and Karen. And I showed up. And I'm really grateful that I think I said I started off with, yo, fans, it's episode 300. And I can't remember, Rod or Karen, one of the two said, hey, what's your name? And I said, B Black/B.Black. And that look on Rod's face of acknowledgement. It's like, oh yeah, whatever. Like I wasn't expecting that. Now, the Ottawa in me is like saying, nah, he's just doing that. But something tells me Charlotte people or people, I don't think there's a part of me that say, I don't think he's that kind of person to be like, yeah, I'm gonna pretend that I know you. For the sake of, like, that's an Ottawa thing. Ottawa people, we do that. It's like, for the sake of whatever. So I'm trying to get myself to believe that was a genuine acknowledgement. Even though there's several people. Like, in my mind, I'm like, yeah, there's no reason for you to know my name. But I'm going to say that I really love that moment of, oh, yeah, holy shit. If I forget everything about the trip, that moment of, oh yeah, made the whole trip fucking worth it. So we go to take a picture and, you know, he does the, you know, arms around my shoulder and everything like that. I mean, he had been drinking, but I mean, sorry, no, the friendliness, like, hey, welcome family. That's what I'm trying to say. It's like, welcome fam. That moment of, yes. Oh, hey fam. Felt good. That's what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to, not only did it feel good, but I was trying to, if it wasn't for my quirks, I would have just braced in that fucking moment. Not thinking about yesterday, not thinking about tomorrow, just being in that moment. How much I enjoyed being, yes, a part of me doesn't like feeling good. It's like, yeah, I know, there's a catch, whatever, right? But I remember being there in that moment, taking that picture. And if you look at the picture, right, there's like joy. Okay, here's where things get funny. It's later after I look at the picture, I'm like, fuck, I look corny. I remember being mad at myself for smiling too hard. I felt like I was smiling too hard. I'm like, man, you look dorky. But what I'm saying is what you're looking at is a man in his moment, feeling grateful for that moment, for being someone who I've only known through the internet. Someone who I've, like, it's like as close to a pat, I would call him a pastor, but it's interesting connections you form on the internet, friendship, relationships you create on the internet, and to see them in flesh and blood in real life. Like, it was a moment. It was a thing. So I remember just, if you look at the picture, you're looking at someone who's happy. And what I'm laughing at is I'm looking back at this picture going, I'm angry at myself for being happy. It's like, look at this corny motherfucker. Look at you, man. like my inner Riley Freeman is kicking in going, man, why don't you suck his dick while you're at it? You know what I mean? Like, look at you looking all happy. Like, it's like part of me. Like, there's a part of me I like. Should have been a real man and just shake his hand, give him a firm shake, and being like, yo, I don't give a fuck. Oh, you're not that, you know, it's like, wow. Okay, I guess what I'm saying. On this, here you're hearing me saying, I wish I was more in the moment. What I'm complaining about is that I was too much in the moment. It's not easy being me, man. It's not easy being me, man. Anyways, so it's only later. What's funny is because I remember having a conversation in my mind with my therapist, and I know she was going to say, dude, I could picture her saying your feelings. What's that expression? Your heart was on your, when you show your feelings, when you're what's that expression? That term is, on your sleeve, heart's on your sleeve or something like that there. I don't know. What's that expression? Heart on sleeve. No. What does it mean to wear your heart on your sleeve? Phrase, if you wear your heart on your sleeve, you openly show your feelings or emotions rather than keeping them inside. Exactly. Exactly. In that moment, my heart was on my sleeve. And because it was a lot of people, trust me, man, part of me wanted to be like, oh my God. I remember talking to them. I forget what I said, but I remember saying, expressing, being happy, being there. I forget what else did I say, but there was a part about how, oh, I think I ended up saying, yo, something along the line of, there's so much I want to say right now, but I think I'm going to save it for a feedback. Because they have, one of the episodes they have, right, during the week, is they dedicate it to feedback, where listeners like me can write in and just, love your show, blah, 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 blah. So much I wanted to say in that moment. But I knew I don't, like, you can hear me written, oh my God, fuck, okay, 11, oh my God, I haven't talked, okay, I'm not done talking about the show. Okay, I'm giving you so much detail, so I'm gonna start to, like, speed this up, right? In that moment, I just knew that everything that I wanted to say would probably be better said in an email, in a feedback moment, which I said that I would do. Anyways, I had a great time. I remember wanting to take a picture with Justin. Justin wasn't around. He was doing his, Justin being Justin. So I took a separate picture with him. But I am grateful for these pictures. I haven't uploaded these pictures yet because I still hadn't gotten over the fuck emotions on my heart, on my sleeve, emotions on my sleeve issue. But here and there. All right. So what did I write? I said, start with you are being at the show. Yeah, I enjoyed the show. What I did after the show, I walked back. I went to the charcuterie joint. I love charcuterie, even though the sodium is not good for me. I met a brother there who was from the Ivory Coast, and I was able to show off my French. He's from because Ivory Coast, they colonized by the French. So we, spoke to him in French and had a great time, man. Great bill. What did I drink there? A lot of Crown Royale, man. Fuck, I drank a lot of Crown Royale. Yeah, I went back to my hotel. And I did some more drinking. I'm not a big drinker, but I'm like, you know, hey, I don't go out much, so let's enjoy the time out. And made a big mistake, man. Holy fuck. I ordered a drink that wasn't on the menu, but I saw on the shelf. And you know what I learned? That's when you spot the expense. Basically, I won't go into details, but a double shot of a drink that was very fucking expensive. And that shit caught me off guard. That's what happens when you have a hot waitress. I'm like, okay, Really, I wanted to complain about, bitch, should have warned me it was going to be this expensive. But, you know, that's what I get for ordering something that wasn't on the menu, that wasn't on the shelf. I guess it's for, that's what ballers should do. And whatever. Went back to my room and then, went back to my room and, no, I'm fucking up the order, right? So after the charcuterie, went back to my hotel and went to bed. Wish I had some weed. But yeah, I went to bed, woke up the next day, and I just stayed in bed till like noon. And I forgot to say that when I was at the show, I was talking to Rod, and I said, hey, do you have any recommendation of soul food restaurant I should check out? It's my way of saying, bro, man, I got money in my pocket. Got money in the bank, shorty what my drink. And I'm like, yo, is there a local business you want me to stimulate? You know, say, well, take advantage of the fact that I'm in town, that I'm a tourist, and I got money to spend. Is there someone you want me to say, hey, Black Eyed Tip sent me, whatever, right? And then it's funny how he had to go through the Rolodex, and he ended up recommending a place called Mert's Heart and Soul. It's a soul food restaurant. I'm like, how am I going to go to the South and not go to a soul food restaurant? Anyways, he recommended that joint. I went to bed, yeah, woke up. And I ended up going to the place, which I found out was just a shuttle ride to, a quick shuttle ride to, so in Charlotte, from my hotel, they have these shuttle. It's kind of like a, not shuttle, it's more tramway. Tramway, is that what you call it? Yeah, like in Toronto. Like in Toronto, if you're familiar with Toronto, right, you got one that goes from east to west, or west to east, whatever, right? But over there, you got to pay for that shit. Ottawa, we ain't got shit like that, man. We got the LRT and it sucks, right? So their tramway system, fucking free. Fucking an American city with a free public transportation. What the fuck blew my mind? And it was clean, comfortable, and all that shit. Way more comfortable than the LRT, but whatever. Anyway, so yeah, showered and then ended up going to Mert's Heart and Soul Hotel, right? And while I was there, I remember going through the drink menu. Damn, forget the name of my... Wait, I remember walking in and fuck, friendly staff. Now, I'm going to say something. No, I'm going to say it. I'm like, this is how I know I'm in the States. Because I'm in a black business and they am running them motherfuckers like a professionals, right? Like being greeted at my table. It wasn't a lot of people, but it was a Sunday, but it doesn't matter, right? I sat to my table and it was like, five-star treatment, right? It's okay, you have to understand, man. I'm from Ottawa. I'm surrounded by white people. If I do know black people, the black businesses out there, they don't go for... It's like, We're trying. Like it's one of those... Usually, it's like it's the black... I'm used on restaurants owned by black people, and the greatest thing about it is the food. Everything else, mediocre. Customer service, cleanliness, seatings, organization, media. It's not bad, but it's whatever. This one, Heart and Soul, five everything. Everything great. They sat me at the table. I remember going through the drink menu and said, hey, y'all got any black-owned? Because I wanted to keep my dollars black. I'm looking at the beer. I'm like, okay, it's Sunday. Might as well, you know, enjoy this liquor. So I noticed the list of beers and... it sucked that she's like, yeah, none of these beers are like black owned. It's like, ah, fuck it. So I ended up, I ended up picking one called Golden Monkey. What's fucked up is I'm drinking this thing called Golden Monkey, thinking it's called Black Monkey, because I was thinking black owned, whatever, man. Golden Monkey, great beer. I mean, I enjoyed it. I mean, would I make a commercial about it? I enjoyed it. Anyways, I ended up ordering for my food. Ended up ordering fried chicken, ribs, collard green, and white rice. I should have stuck to, because rice is not soul food. It's not part of soul food. I just learned that somewhere. Whatever, right? But whatever, man. Collard green. Food was good, man. The point is, food was good. I remember sharing the picture, the before and after picture of my plate on Instagram. Food was great. Great appetite, took a picture, tagged everyone, and yeah, shout out Roddy Care for recommending the restaurant, and shout out to everyone, all the staff. Oh, there's one friendly brother in there, and he was just like, oh, I remember having the thought, the food was so great, my experience was so great that I had this this realization. I said, oh, that's why y'all call it soul food, because it feels like someone cares. It was the moment of the trip where the one part of the trip where I felt like, even though I was by myself, I felt like I wasn't alone. That's what I want to say. Okay. All right. So, yeah, I enjoyed the food and then traveled back and got prepared for my trip back home. And I won't talk about the delays because I'm realizing all the time that I took that I spoke about. Be Black, it's your fucking podcast. Take your time. Right. It's getting late. I got to prepare for work tomorrow. So I'm trying to wrap this up. All right. Okay. So let me look at my notes right. What did I say? I said being on the show, what I did after the show. Went to the Soul, and then I flew home. Right. Now, I won't talk about how it was a 12-hour trip because of the delay. JetBlue had a delay. So I flew from Charlotte, CLT, to Boston, and from Boston to Ottawa. So my flight from – oh, right. I forgot. Yeah. My flight from Charlotte to Boston was supposed to be at 6 a.m. That motherfucker left at 12, right? And then apparently, first it was, they were saying it was weather related. Then it was, no, we have problems, staff. Our pilots had to come off their day off to fly us to Boston. And then from Boston to Ottawa, there was another delay. And that was via, what are they called? That was Porter Airline. And I was supposed to leave at 6, ended up leaving at 8. Anyway, got home, fucking late, 12-hour trip. I'm not complaining. It was a great trip, had great time. Charlotte is not the kind of city you only stay for 2 days. I got to go back. Charlotte reminded me a lot of Atlanta because there's a lot of black people there. And black people doing regular ass. Like, that's how I knew that moment realized that, yeah, I wish I went to a black school. Like, how much white people, like, race is a thing for... What I'm trying to say is I was amazed at Charlotte watching black people do regular ass things, walking as a couple, driving in a car with a souped up car, enjoying the summer day, hanging out amongst each other. But it was basically what I was seeing is things that I would see in Ottawa, but it would be white people. And I'm watching black people just do, I saw punks, the style, not punks, but it's the style. I saw like all kinds of black people doing all kinds of things. I grew up being the token black guy. And black people were a minority being used on black people. The only time I see a lot of black people is in my own relatives or in church. Or the club. Anyways, Charlotte was a great city. I had a great time at Charlotte, and I'm gonna finally summarize to finally explain what's up with today's title. Now, if you came to this episode wanting to hear angry version of Be Black talk about the white man and all the it is evilness and the horny little devil shit, I'm sorry to disappoint you. There's two reasons why I call this episode You Can't Trust the White Man. I guess because of the flight delays, but no, that's not the reason. It's because when I was taking the tramway back to my hotel, minding my own business, I think I was waiting 15 minutes for the train to show up. There's a lot of homelessness in Charlotte, like any other city, I guess, but there's homeless, whatever, right? And okay, I don't think this brother, I don't know if this brother was homeless, but it kind of looked like he was talking to himself. He was walking towards my way. It kind of looked like he was talking to himself. He sees me and then he incorporates me in this conversation. And I'm not sure what, I think he might've been talking about sport, about football or basketball. But what I do remember is he would blah, 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 blah. And then I heard the words, and that's why you can't trust the white man. And I'm like, oh man, a person after my heart. I'm like, right on, bro. Well, what's interesting is in that moment, A part of me was like, because like I was saying, like I'm like, oh man, I don't want to talk to people. I don't know this person. Like half of me, the people that pleaser in me wanted to be like, pay attention, feign interest in what he had to, what he has to say. While the self-preservation part is like, yeah, like there was an inner conflict in me. But the one thing that brother said that made sense that I was able to process and that I kept in my mind that I remembered and to the point of making it the title of this episode is, man, you can't trust the white man. And he walked away. And he just walked away. And I remember telling myself, yeah, what on, brother? Red on, man. I wish we could have had a longer conversation. I wish I could have a better context of what you're saying. But I know what the fuck you mean. And he walked away. You can't trust the white man. And I remember telling myself, yeah, I think that's going to be the takeaway for this trip, man. Because a part of me was looking for meaning in my trip. One, I was expecting to come back and be like, spiritually, like insightful, like a changed person, like have some kind of, I thought I was gonna be like Moses coming from the mountaintop with the two tablets, and instead I got one tablet and with the line that said, you can't trust the white man. And I remember telling myself, I gotta do something with those words and making it a title and being hesitant about making it a title for this episode because I keep forgetting it's my fucking podcast. There's a part of me that's not used to getting what he wants. At least has this belief that either you don't deserve what you want or what you want is not for you. Everyone else is entitled to getting what they want. Like that song by Wu-Tang that says, it's yours, the seed in a black woman, or the world is yours. Like I hear those words, but it's not. It's not something that makes sense. All this to say, I heard those words. I remembered what my podcast is about. I remember I go out of my way to explain, hey, you, fuck you and your white fragility. And that's where I said, be black, it's your fucking podcast. Do as you wish. And that's how we ended up with the title, You Can't Trust the White Man. And finally, this concludes today's episode. Thank you for listening as usual. Holler at me. You can find me on Twitter through the handle @BBlizzak or Shut Up Podcast. I refuse to call Twitter X because Elon Musk could go fuck himself. Anyway, yeah, like I said, anyway, yeah, okay. So you can find me on Twitter @BBlizzak or on TikTok. It's kind of creative. Yeah, TikTok @B.Black. Or just go to the website, shutuppodcast.com, and you can contact me, get a hold of me there. Email address is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. You can subscribe to this podcast using the RSS feed or the RSS feed that's on the website, or go to Google, Apple, and Amazon Podcasts. Yo. Okay, let me just prepare here. Yo, thank you for listening. And remember, be kind to your favorite podcast. All right? No, seriously. Be kind to your favorite podcast. And yeah, that's it.
I am your king now!